Welcome to Sarah and T, the podcast that focuses on professional vacation rental management. Brought to you by Sarah Bradford of Winter Park Lodging Company and Steamboat Lodging Company, located in the mountains of Colorado, as well as Tim Cafferty of Outer Banks Blue and Sandbridge Blue Realty Services on the coast of North Carolina and Virginia. Separately, Sarah and T manage more than 600 vacation rental properties and are regarded as two of the top experts on vacation rental management. Together, they bring you this podcast to share their experience, have some fun, and let you know that you are not alone in this crazy business of providing short-term rentals to the public. Now, for the next 30 minutes or so, get ready to have some fun and maybe learn something. Here's our hosts, Sarah and T.
Thanks, Sarah Moss, our voice that introduces us each week on Sarah and T. I'm Tim. Over there's Sarah. How's it going out west today, ma'am?
It's a beautiful day out here. All the snow is melting, which is okay because the ski season's almost over. And I think I can proudly say we made it through the ski season, Tim.
Congratulations.
A lot of wrinkles from it, but we made it and we stayed open. And that felt impossible in November. So these things can happen. How are you doing?
I'm great. Well, and I can't believe it's April. Wow. We've been over a year since we have seen each other in person. We see each other every 2 weeks, of course, on the podcast. But you know what you were just talking about? You got to where you wanted to be. And that is the subject of this week's podcast. Get me to where I want to be, folks. We have, was it 11? We'll probably come up with two or three more by the time we're over. Pet peeves about our websites.
We might be a little negative today, but we're going to try to make it fun. We're going to tell you what drives us crazy about vacation rental websites. You might have an emotion listening to this of, I don't agree with them. I do that on my website. I mean, hopefully when we go over misspellings and grammar, you don't say that. But there's some other things that could be debatable. But we're just giving our opinion as always, so try to love us. And then we're going to have a follow-up episode, right, Tim, that's going to bring the positive in. And we're going to tell you what we think your website should have. And so we're going to get into all the great things you could add to your website. But everything today is what we think you should take off of your website. Right. So let's get started, Tim.
So you're saying we're going to bust on them today and we're going to shoulda on them on the next one. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, we're going to shoulda on you. Okay. We have a saying in my family, don't should on me.
Oh boy. Yeah. Don't do that. All right. Yeah. So I've got one and we don't have to go far to find an example here. Confusing navigation. Do you have a website that you go to often where there's like these multi-tier drop-down menus where you have to have the precision of a surgeon to get to where you want to go? Amazon. It just is so irritating. Or maybe you have unclear terms on your navigation or unprecise or confusing ways to frustrate your guests. What is the purpose of your site, folks? Make sure your guests can get to where they want to be and fulfill the purpose with just a few clicks and get out of their way. Some sites, it just seems like you need an instruction manual, Sarah, to get to what you want to be.
Yeah, when you were saying that, it reminds me of that game Operation. Did you ever play that?
Right.
And so when you're trying to use the navigation, it's like you have that little thing in operation and you're trying not to touch the sides of the little bone you're pulling out. And then it goes, eh! And that's how it feels when you're moving from navigation.
Yeah, you have to go back.
And so talk about the purpose of your site. Let's get into that in number one, and it'll keep coming back to in all 10. Mm-hmm. Backing up a second. Have you really thought about what the purpose is of your website? And you go, yeah, I needed a website. Yeah, it's because I have a vacation rental company. Yeah, I want to get people to book with me. Okay, but you have to come back to that with everything you add to your website. What is the purpose? The purpose for my website, the sole purpose is to get people to book. And then I would say my sub purpose is if owners come to my website, it's very clear, potential owners, very clear how to find out information about working with us. So we have two users coming to our website, folks, right? It's the guests that want to book. Make sure it is so easy to book. And the second thing is make sure owners quickly get to where you want them to go to find out about you. And everything you're adding or everything you're taking away, does it accomplish the goal you've set for your website? I would assume, Tim, is your goal the same on your website?
Well, I think you've just summed it up really well. Absolutely. And here's a little summary on what I'm thinking on this. You are spending a lot of money and a lot of effort to get people to your website. The idea is not to get them to your website. It is to make a sale of some sort, right? You want to pay it off, that ROI. And so a lot of us use Google AdWords, or maybe you have a staff, whatever it is. When you add up what you're spending on your website effort, make sure you got an end in mind.
Yes. And as we go to number two, I wanted to say one more thing on that. I think all of us spend too much time on our own website. And I don't think we take the opportunity to do what I did today. I typed in a random destination in the US and I typed that destination's name, then vacation rentals, and found the websites that come up. And then I sit there and look at other people's websites. Sometimes I'm like, cool website, great idea. Or my goodness, this website is confusing. And then I look at my own website and say, I have the same confusing thing. I just didn't see it because it's my website and I know where Winter Park is already and all of that. So really encourage you guys to look at other people's websites. Okay. Mm-hmm. Number two on our pet peeves is outdated content. And man, Tim, this is a hard one. We are all guilty of this because we've been told to blog, 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 put current events on, blah, blah, blah. And to keep that updated is a chore, especially if you're a small company. We've been to so many VR websites that they're advertising an event in the local area that happened pre-COVID, you know? And so when you get to that as a guest or even an owner, you think, is this company with it? It just hurts your reputation. It smacks you of inattention and disinterest. And it relates to how this company might handle, you know, a clogged commode, as my dad loves to use the word commode. How are they going to do that if they can't take off an event that happened before COVID? What do you think about the blog concept, Tim? Because we're told to write blogs, we're told to write things in there that are current. So what do we do if we write a blog about 2019? Do we delete it?
Yeah, I think this is becoming a real issue for some of our listeners and they don't even realize it. Oh, goody, I have a blog. It helps my Google ranking. Well, if the last article you posted was in June of 2020, it's not helping you. You might as well delete it. You need updated and fresh, current content on your blog. Not to pat myself on the back here, but I personally put something on my blog every week. I have Memory Monday. I put on there every week. My marketing team puts something on there every week as well. And I think Amy Highnote did a ranking of the top blogs in the vacation rental management industry. We ranked fairly high.
You were number one.
We were not number one, but we were ranked, and it was because we had content. You just got to do it. You've got to carve it out on your schedule if it's you or someone that works for you. And you don't have to do it there at that moment. You can schedule it to be done in advance, but you got to have content. And you think, oh, I can't think of anything. Yes, you can.
So let's talk about that for a second. Someone's driving, listening to our podcast right now, being like, yeah, I want to do that, but I probably won't. How do you make it happen? I mean, you, Tim, how do you make a blog post happen every week? Do you schedule your time? Do you do three of them and schedule them out for 3 weeks? What's the trick so we all can commit to start doing this? Because Google does love fresh content.
Yep. Yes and yes. And I have people for that. That's the other thing. And you can hire people to write things as well. I don't know about you, but I get at least one email a week asking if they can publish an article for us. So there's options out there. Again, I'm not bragging. The thing I do is very simplistic. It's less than 300 words. It involves pictures. It's really easy, but it's a discipline. It's right on my Outlook calendar, pops up. Oop, time to do Memory Monday. And it takes me about 20 minutes. And sometimes I will do three or four and I've handled the whole month, right? So it's just one of those habits you got to get into. But that outdated content is a killer. Just can't overemphasize how bad it is to have outdated content as it is opposed to making sure you put updated content on.
Okay. So what I'm hearing you say is that you usually write it, you, Tim, but you have people, quote unquote, who might post it for you and get it out there. But it sounds like you're the one writing it for the most part.
Well, on my particular thing, I write it and I put it in the little channel or whatever where it goes. But we also, we've hired people to write content. We have people on staff that write content. And when you spread the load, where they say many hands make light work, when you spread the load, you'd be surprised how easily you can do this.
Okay. And then the last thing, because I think everyone's wondering, you don't want to delete your blog entries. You want to keep it current. So you don't go back to last year and delete how you're approaching COVID. You just let that be there. And if someone scrolled way down, they'd find it. Exactly. And that's good content. Google, because Google doesn't like deleting. I want to be clear. They don't like deleting. They like to see it's continually being updated, whether it's a page about something that you have to update on your website or a blog. They just want to keep seeing new entries. Are you with me on that?
100%. Yes. If it scrolls down the page and that June content that you wrote, it's okay for it to still be on there. It shouldn't be the first thing we read though. All right, let's move on to number three, pop-ups. You know what I'm talking about. They are so irritating. I went to a site the other day of someone who actually had appeared on our podcast before. The first thing I got was a request to give them my email address. Sorry, you're not getting my email address before I look at your website. It's like somebody going up to me and asking if I'm wearing underwear the first time we've met. You know, it's a little personal. No, I'm not giving you my email address right now. I might trust you in a few minutes, but not right now. I'm good in that area right now, yes. Maybe you're not a best example, but you get my point. It's irritating. I don't want to see the pop-up.
I agree 100%. I'm not sure everyone listening agrees. So this would be a cool one for someone to write on our Facebook page. Tell us what you think. Even I think Amy Highnote said she likes a pop-up, or she wrote an article about that or something like that.
Well, this happens a lot on like news sites. I don't know if you get your news online, but I pay for a subscription for two publications and it just bothers the heck out of me. I'm already paying to be on there and these pop-ups come and I got to click them out so I can continue reading the article. I'm sorry, it's irritating. It is irritating to see these pop-ups.
And I would say if your website is good enough with those goals in mind to funnel in the guests to conversion and funnel in new owners to reach out to you, if your website is quality enough and you're thinking about usability, you don't need the pop-up. Mm-hmm. That's my challenge.
Yes.
I think you tick people off and they leave the site, because I do. I mean, I love it when like you go to Bed Bath & Beyond site or something and it says, do you like saving money? Click here. And then you have to close it. Like, I don't like saving money. I hate that.
You like this one a lot.
Number four is my favorite. If anybody knows me out there, I do misspell words and I do mess up my grammar, as Al, my GM, points out anytime I do, since I like to point out every time everyone else does. But do not have things misspelled and do not have grammar issues on your website. Misspellings are easier to prevent because you can do spell check, right? And usually you'll find it. But remember that if you use your and your incorrectly, spell check doesn't always find that. Or if you write a sentence incorrectly, no one really, I mean, unless you put it through Grammarly, I mean, but there's just ways of saying it. And you have to think that people are reading this. So read it out loud. Have someone else read it. Really make sure you didn't miss the word but or and, or you know what I'm saying? Make it sound like something you would turn into your English teacher, and make it exciting and interesting. And I think put fun in your writing. We're talking about vacation rentals. It shouldn't say, I like three restaurants in Winter Park. First, I like to go to Dino's. It is really good. It has really good steak. Be like, do you want to have the best time with your family and maybe sit outside by a fire and watch the locals walk by? I mean, be fun. That's not even fun, but you know what I mean? Of course, I feel a little obsessed with this one. I think it speaks when you have bad grammar and you have spelling errors, especially like your e-blasts, just getting off website for a minute. I feel like your e-blast is pushing your website in front of people. If you have typos in your e-blast, I see them all the time, you guys. I see them on a lot of vendor emails that I've been sending lately, and I just lose confidence in that vendor. It is so critical. All right, what do you think, Tim?
I was just stepping back, just letting her go. That's what you do in these cases. Here's the thing. Look at your website, folks, because most of the time when you point it out to somebody you know and love, they go, oh, God, I haven't even seen that. Take the time to look at it. I saw a coffee cup the other day in my attorney's office that made me think of Sarah. So maybe you'll think of this in the future as you are thinking about websites. And the coffee cup said, I am silently correcting your grammar. That is Sarah Bradford, folks.
Oh, goodness. Although when I listen to myself on the podcast, I don't ever pronounce my ings in words. So I'm silently correcting myself if anybody wants to know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next on our list, music or videos that autoplay. Okay. So we may have a little bit of a disagreement between the two of us about music and videos on the site. But what I'm talking about, it is not great when, let's put ourselves in the mind of our guest. They are trolling vacation rental websites at work, right? And, yeah. Or maybe you're in your living room doing a secret search to surprise your spouse with a vacation. And all of a sudden the music starts playing and says, it's a great day in San Diego.
Right? Or how about recently when my kids were doing school at home and I finally got them focused and they're focusing on school and then they hear from me, Hawaii, the place to be, right? Stop it. I hate that all across the board. I don't watch a lot of videos. I'm old school. And I can't stand it when it just starts playing and making noise. It kind of busts me for whatever I'm looking at.
Right, exactly. So probably not a great idea. You could have videos. You can even have those flash players, which I know Sarah's not really super excited about on your homepage. But those videos that are YouTube related, don't have them autoplay. It is really not cool.
I mean, we could debate this one too. It sounds like, Tim, you like the video that's behind the search bar that's the new hip thing on homepages. I could get around it, I guess. But so far, I find it distracting. And I'm nervous about, like, if a 70-year-old is on there, it kind of takes away from the goal again, which is click and search and find a property. So what's your thought on that video on the homepage?
Well, I think if it serves a purpose to draw me in, yes. If it's just there because they wanted to show how cool they were, not so much. That kind of goes back to some of the other things we've got here about the sites and what they do and how they operate. You really got to think about it from the user's perspective. If you're selling the area and drawing people in, I kind of like it.
Number six on our pet peeves is a pretty obvious one, but how much do we really check it? And that's broken links when you browse. When you are on your website, what's the last time that you actually browsed your website? Like really browse your website. Don't just search and see if the right properties are coming up. Have you clicked around to, like for me, the ski rentals page, the information about hiking trails, all of that? And are you sure all your links work? Apparently, I think according to our website provider and our web builder, there are tools you can run for this. You don't even have to browse the whole website. It'll just run you a report of all broken links. And do that, because it's a bummer if you have a broken link. Again, it speaks that you're not very professional.
Yeah, I don't care. So I find a lot of I actually found a broken link on our website when I was doing research for this, and it was, as it usually is, a link to something outside of our company. We were linking to, I think it was a webcam for the Corps of Engineers. Corps of Engineers changed the website address. We caught it, got it corrected, but you just got to look at that stuff. So broken links, not great. All right, next one. Another pet peeve of mine, mobile optimization. I'm sorry, folks. Even though you think all vacation rental managers would get this, not everyone gets this. People do actually book vacations on their phone, folks. Desktops are not necessarily the number one way that people book vacations online any longer. In fact, it's not. For me, take a look at your site right now on your phone. I'll wait. No, I won't.
Wait, they're driving.
Okay, pull over, look at your website, make sure you see what you're supposed to see. So I have one. It's not a vacation rental management website, but it's one that is my newest pet peeve. It's actually one of my newest obsessions, too. It's called marinetraffic.com. You can go there and you can look at every ship in the world, where they are right now, a lot like the aircrafts where you can follow the planes around the country. You can follow boats around the world. The Suez Canal is a great one to look at right now for marinetraffic.com. And it is on my handheld. And you can click on a ship and see where they are and where they're going. It pops up outside of the site. You can see like a quarter of an inch of the ship. Irritating.
So irritating. And it makes you frustrated and not want to go back there. Although right. It sounds like you keep going back.
I do.
You know, I've been ordering a lot of furniture lately, and I wish I could look at where my furniture is on which boat. Then I could track the boat that's coming over. Because they always like to say, oh, that's on the water right now. I'm like, well, where? Mm-hmm. Where is it on the water? Yeah. On this mobile optimization, we all like to set it and forget it. Like if you use a web provider, they say, okay, you know, you're all set and it's mobile friendly. Well, I would say keep looking because you keep adding features, functionality, pages, make sure it works. What my theory on this is, Tim, is that we vacation rental managers and marketing directors at our companies, we're on PCs when we're quote unquote working. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at our website on a PC, Mac, whatever. That's how we see it. We rarely are looking at our website on the phone because why would we? Right. But then we don't realize that all the guests are hitting most of them, their first experience with our website is on the phone because they are just goofing off waiting for somebody and saying, I might want to go skiing in Colorado. I absolutely do not think we're looking at this enough. And I think that this is how people are booking. And I always want to say, make sure you're looking at your Google Analytics. It's so easy on the homepage of Google Analytics to see how many people have accessed your site on mobile versus PC versus tablet. And it also is so easy to look at your conversions by device. And it will shock you if you have not looked at that lately. So don't give up all that money by not being mobily friendly.
Excellent.
Number 8. On the pet peeves of websites for Tim and me, we're really getting so negative here.
Exactly.
It's okay. This is probably my second biggest one besides grammar and misspellings. It's not obvious what you do. I challenge you guys to go out and look at some VR websites and say to yourself, first of all, where even is this? So many people have let's say their vacation rental company is called Smith Vacation Rentals. And you go there and it's just a picture of mountains and then there's properties and it's just branded Smith Vacation Rentals. I don't know where I am. It is so hard to figure out where you are. And you have to remember that not only do I want to know you do vacation rentals, that's one of the biggest thing. You need to explain that to people. You need to explain where you are because, Tim, when I go to your website, I am not necessarily convinced I even want to go to the Outer Banks yet.
Right.
So I'm not even sure how I got to your website. So you need to sell me on the area and then sell me on the properties and not assume that just because I came to your website, I want to come to your destination. Do you see that a lot where it's confusing where it is?
Oh, absolutely. I've been to several VRM sites in the last year and I didn't know if they actually rented properties or I couldn't figure it out right away. But your point's excellent right there. And so that was one that might transition over into the shouldas next time. And that is, don't miss the point that your competition may not be Smith Vacation Rentals down the street. Your competition might be Disney World, Hot Springs, Arkansas, a trip to France. Make sure you sell your area first.
I do love the name of our companies. So I'm going to brag on myself now. I don't think I was pointed out as the best blog in the world, but
at least
my company's name is Winter Park Lodging Company and Steamboat Lodging Company. So I've got this down.
It is obvious what you do. Yes.
But still you think people know that's in Colorado? Mm. Not necessarily.
No.
You know, I was just traveling and I told people where I live and they're like, and that is where, and it's just hard to believe in my world, you don't know where Steamboat at Winter Park are, but you don't. People are not as fluent on every vacation destination as you think they'd be.
Right. Well, you told the story early on in one of our episodes about somebody who was coming to Winter Park for a wedding, and they had made arrangements to have their hair done in Winter Park, Florida. Oh. Oops.
Yeah. Oopsie daisy.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Okay, next on our list, low quality or too few photos. Okay, I'm going to say the quality is definitely picked up. We aren't taking pictures with an Instamatic anymore. Even your phone is pretty high quality on the photos, but too few photos. Show me what the property is. The days of limits on photos are gone, folks. They are long gone. Don't give me 10 thumbnails when you can give me 30. Your job is to sell the property. We are a visual society, thus the popularity of websites. Give the people what they want and keep those damn photos updated. If the house was painted blue 2 years ago, don't have it up there as a gray house. That is really a pet peeve, not only of me, but of our guests.
Yeah, great point. Stop with the too few photos. There just, again, there are no limits anymore. Remember, that really hurt us. Mm-hmm. If you've been around for 10 years, 20 years, Vrbo used to not let us put many photos on, remember? So yep. We still have that in our head. People want to see so many pictures. I mean, when we do the shoulda episode, mm-hmm. I'll talk about the order of photos and what I think about all that. But, you know, there's a company that's a competitor of mine, and I notice on their website that they don't show any exterior photos of the property.
That's red flag.
I don't know if like the people that own that must have grown up in New York City or something. Hi, we don't have crime here really. And the only reason I can think of doing that is that you're afraid someone's going to go rob it knowing it's a vacation rental. Careful of your paranoia, people, because when I don't see the front of a property, I lose trust. Right? Because mm-hmm. I'm like, what's this thing look like? Yep. I want to see. I mean, that's a big part of the property. Show it. The other thing, which gets a little shoulda, I think you should try to show the surrounding area. We started doing this with Google Maps integration into our site that beautifully shows where the property is on a map. But if there is a coffee shop nearby, then show it. So, you know, when I'm looking at a property, I'm looking at the rooms and everything, but I also want to see that the grocery store is super easy to walk to if I wanted to get need to get the eggs or something, or a restaurant. So it's okay to show the surrounding area as long as that's true and that's not 30 minutes away.
Yes, you got that right.
Number 10 is one I put into Tim's list. This is Tim's list, mm-hmm. just so you guys know. Mm-hmm. But number 10 is above and below the fold. If you look at your website on a giant monitor, you need to stop and remember that most people don't look on giant monitors, okay? We are super dorks, right? Like we have 5 monitors and we have a different world. But think about the mom that's at home with her laptop. She has 10 minutes to decide where they're going to go on vacation and she has that little screen. Look at your website in a small box. And if you have put your search bar, your most important goal, right? At least for me, is to get people to book. If you've put that below the fold, I don't care how much you disagree with me, especially if you're 26 listening to this and think that I'm crazy. People do not scroll. Repeat. People do not scroll. Therefore, they're going to get to your website and it's just going to say, relax on the beach. And the mom's just going to be like, what the heck? Where do I? I'm going to go back to Google and do the next click. Mm-hmm. I don't know where I'm supposed to search on that. Make sure you are putting things that you want people to see above the fold. This also goes to property details page. I see way too many property details page that all you get to is a giant picture that you're supposed to know to hover over to click the arrow to go to the next picture. And you don't see anything below it. And so again, you're lost. Think about that. Okay. Above, below the fold. Get the important information on the above the fold.
Well said and well done. And my marketing folks would agree 100%. And they are also not 27 years old. So there you go. Okay. And the last one on our list, mailing address. This may be a Tim-only problem. I write thank you notes. I have had 6 thank you notes returned to me in the past year from guests that appeared on our show because the address on the website is not their mailing address. I know, scroll down to the very bottom. There's always the address there, right? And these are guests that were on our show. So they are top shelf managers. So folks, if you were on our show and you did not get a thank you note from me that you were on our show, now you know why. Your address is incorrect on your website.
And if you didn't get a thank you note from me, that's correct. I didn't write one.
What if they did get a thank you note from you, Sarah?
Oh, that's from an imposter. Isn't Tim so incredible that he writes these thank you notes? Good job, Tim. I write thank you notes to my mother and a few other people, but I'm not as good as Tim is about thank you notes. You know, I have to say that I've never received a thank you note from anyone that's been on the show. So clearly no one else is writing these either.
Oh, boy. Love it. Okay, so that is our list of 11 pet peeves. Contemplate, see if there's something that hits a little too close to home, and maybe you should make corrections today.
Before we sum it up, I wanted to surprise Tim and do a not so hot off the press, but definitely happening, because we haven't done that for maybe a year. There was too much press to be happening that we didn't want to talk about. Interesting. Hopefully all of you have heard this, but something we really need to be discussing as an industry is the news that Vacasa has purchased Turnkey. So the only two names I ever think of in the mega managers are going to become one. I don't want to go into what all that means, but I will tell you all that I think this is an opportunity for you if you're not part of Vacasa or Turnkey, because this is big, guys. This is distracting for them. This is a lot of money flying around, but it's also a lot of processes that have to be combined. And I know our phones are ringing off the hook from people that are being taken over by these big companies. So look at it as opportunity. Don't look at it as something you're afraid of.
Yeah, we've been harping on that since pretty much day one about the big competitors, that nimble and being there is really important. Again, not to insult anybody, but being there is really important. And so I think it is an opportunity once again for many of our loyal listeners to increase their market share if they so wish. Okay, so let's summarize quickly. And then, of course, next time we're going to shit on you. And so be ready for that. Number one on our top 11 pet peeves, confusing navigation. Multi-tier drop-downs, unclear terms, unprecise words. Pay attention to what it looks like to your customers, folks.
Number two, and hopefully now you're in front of your website going through this with, otherwise pause and go through your website and start it again. Outdated content. If you have a blog, don't start and then stop. You have to keep it going. Tim does it once a week. I kind of do that. Make sure your website does not have outdated events where guests would see that.
Yep. We don't care about the balloon festival that was 4 months ago. Pop-ups is number three. I went to a site today. First thing happened, pop-up. I had to give them my information before I could see what they had to offer. Guess what site I didn't look at anymore?
That one. Number four, misspellings and grammar. Your means you are. Your, Y-O-U-R, means like, you know what I'm saying. Don't put like in there either, like I talk. So just really look at your grammar. Read what you write before you publish.
Number five, music or videos that autoplay. Don't make your guests be called out by their coworkers when they are going back to work one day soon. And they'll say, Bill, are you looking for vacation rentals?
Yeah, don't embarrass your guests before they even book with you. Number six, broken links when you browse. Check the links on your website and also find out that tool. If I find out what the tool's name is, I'll put it on Facebook. But there's a way to just run a tool on your website that will tell you all your broken links.
Next one, mobile optimization. Pick up your little telephonic device that has a screen on it that we spend too much time on and dial in your website right now and make sure it looks the way it's supposed to look. I bet you'll be surprised.
All the way to the booking page. Don't stop on the homepage. Number eight, guys, if it's not obvious what you do to the common person, then it's not obvious. So make it clear you do vacation rentals. where you do them and where that location is. Make it clear. If you don't have a super clear name like I do, then make sure that it's very obvious on the homepage where you are.
The next one is low quality or too few photos. The days of limits on photos are long gone. Get with the program and make sure they're updated.
Number 10, one that I inserted in there, funny enough, is make sure the information is above the fold that you want someone to see. And fold means, I realized I didn't explain what fold means. Fold means that before you scroll, it's what you see on a PC. This isn't about mobile. So make sure that you don't have your search bar way below. I guess the negative of this would be, what is a pet peeve is when it's just a picture of the place or it's a picture of your destination and it says, relax here. And you're like, relax where? How do I even relax? Mm-hmm. I don't even know how to search. This is so frustrating. That search bar, I think, needs to be way up top.
And last, but for me, not least, give me your mailing address. I want to write a note about your super reservations agent who did a great job, and I want to let her supervisor know with a nice thank you card. You don't give me your address, I can't do it. And I can't write you a thank you note if you've been on our show.
It also just looks professional that you have a physical address. If you don't have that there, it loses trust. Even if you don't get a thank you note from Tim, there's other reasons to have a mailing address on your website.
All right, so that's our 11. And next time we will tell you some of the good things we see in websites. And I'm hopeful and am pretty sure that you guys will give us feedback between now and then. First of all, on any pet peeves that we missed. And then, of course, on anything you really like. Let us know. Hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or our website.
And you know what we're going to do on the should-haves? Because, of course, we couldn't do it on the pet peeves. We're going to call out certain vacation rental companies' websites and point out things we love on their site. So if you think you have something we should look at, let us know. But listen to the next episode to see if you get called out in a good way.
Something like the Academy Awards. And we'll be the hosts, just like we're going to be the hosts of the DARM conference that was just announced a couple of weeks ago in Charleston, South Carolina in late August. Look it up on VRA Intel. Sarah and I will be there. You should be too.
I will be in full form of entertainment, so get ready.
All right. Can't wait till then. Can't wait till next time. Sarah, great job as always. Thank you.
And way to be vaccinated, Tim. I'm vaccinated too, and we're on our way. It just gives me chills. I feel like we're on our way to normal. The world is coming back. Let's welcome everybody this summer. Let's get ready, get psyched, and we'll talk to you next time. Thanks, Tim. Bye-bye.
See you. So long, everybody.
And that puts a wrap on another episode of Sarah and T, the Professional Vacation Rental Managers Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Sarah Bradford of Winter Park Lodging Company and Steamboat Lodging Company, as well as Tim Cafferty of Outer Banks Blue and Sandbridge Blue Realty Services. Music is provided by Ben Sound. Sarah and T invite you to join them for their next episode. But in the meantime, they encourage you to stay in touch through their website, sarahandt.com, social media channels, or give them a call at 336-612-1612. We'd love to hear from listeners giving them feedback on what you just heard or providing ideas for future episodes. We look forward to speaking with you next time on Sarah and T.